Welcome to our morning service here. A new Lord's Day has been given to us, and we want to honor God, bringing our hearts in touch with Him, lifting our voices in praise to His name. Yes, the circumstances are not ideal, certainly for us here in Toronto, as we are in lockdown still. Nonetheless, we'll not let that lock our spirits down. We will lift our hearts in praise to the living God. Let's commence our service today. Number 185 in our hymnal, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Praise God today for the changeless name of love that is our anointed one, the Lord's anointed. We come to worship Christ today. That's the very purpose, reason, meaning of our existence. It is to glorify Him with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. And believer, as you set yourself today, as we all come to gather in this way, well, let us be certain that we come with prepared hearts. We come with souls that are lifted up to magnify Him who alone is worthy of all our praise. Now, before we seek the Lord in prayer today, I want just to remind you of a couple of things. Last Lord's Day morning, We know that there was interruption with the flow of signal and went across the network as far as sermon audio was concerned. And I want to just reiterate the request that Brother Stephen Lee, who is the CEO of Sermon Audio, has requesting all people to be much in prayer that the Word of God will go out uninterrupted, and it will be a blessing to those far and wide, right across the globe. Sermon Audio is the largest distribution of sermons and messages of the Word of Truth across the globe. It's quite an amazing thing, and we want to hold up our brother and also all the staff there, that God would encourage their hearts and make them vigilant for the cause of the spreading of the gospel of truth. And also a word of great encouragement. I just heard this morning about little Liam Rose, gave his heart to the Lord this past week, and that was a great encouragement, and I'm sure Mom and Dad are very, very thankful about that. I do pray for this little fellow, that God would bless him in his life, that he would grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And may that be a repeated event across all our families and all our little ones, that the Lord would touch their hearts and bring them savingly to Him, and then have a life set aside, set apart for the glory of King Jesus. That's the reason that we are here. Let's come to the Lord now, please, and call on His name. Father, we are so thankful this morning for the blessing and the privilege of worship and the fact that we can meet in person and we can meet in a virtual way. And Lord, we are asking today that once more we be very conscious of the presence of the Spirit of God working in our hearts, taking the Word of God, writing it upon our souls, so that we might be changed, that we will be sanctified, Lord, and made more like unto the image of our blessed Savior. This is our heart's desire. This is our longing. And Lord, we pray today that the Word of Truth would go forward without interruption across the airwaves, and that, Lord, You would speak to some soul in salvation. We long, Father, to know the ingrowth and the ingathering of all of the elect brought into Christ. And we ask, Father, today that there would be great rejoicing, as there is in heaven, over one little one that comes to trust in the Savior. We pray for Liam today. We're thankful for him. We ask that You would bless him. We ask that You would watch over all of our little ones in our families. But Lord, not just them. We pray for our teenagers that perhaps have still not trusted in Christ. Work in their hearts, we pray. And from the youngest to the very oldest, let no one, Lord, be left out. Let no one be missing and absent on that great day when we all stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we are asking to work deeply in every heart, and not just in salvation, but most definitely, Lord, in making us all more and more and more like our Savior. We pray, Father, to bless Sermon Audio today and our brother Stephen and all the staff. Encourage their hearts. Help them, Lord, and all of the arrangements and all of the details that they are endeavoring to put together so that the Word of God would go out unhindered. Lord, bless that ministry and work, and bless all those who are contributing financially, contributing, Lord, in a practical sense by prayer. And Lord, we are asking again that You would stop the big tech companies from interfering, Lord, with the going forth of the Word of Truth and light and righteousness. Father, we ask that You would help us in our day. We are but a feeble flock. We are a small people in comparison to the mass of the world. And yet, Lord, we know that one with our God is a majority. And therefore we pray today that you would strengthen and help and bless every faithful pastor and preacher of the Word that is giving out the Word of truth today, whether it is in person or whether it's over the airwaves. Lord, bless abundantly, we pray, to the salvation of souls and the lifting up of thy people. Father, we are thankful also for the young people meeting last night through the Connect Fellowship. Bless every individual one. We pray the testimonies that went forth and the Word of God that was shared would be encouraging and helpful and carrying forward in the young lives and those who are seeking to serve God in a full-time capacity or wanting to know the will of God for their life. Lord, be with them, we pray, and encourage them. Remember the many sick ones that are connected with our fellowship and those we know of. Bless each one abundantly, Lord. Some in hospital, some going through treatment now, some recovering from surgery and hospital time. Lord, may this time of convalescing be for each one a time of drawing near to the Lord, a time when they will be able to say, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I've learned the statutes, that I've learned and drawn closer to the Savior. Father, may that be the portion and the situation for every single heart. Lord, we don't know individually what every family is going through. We might have an idea, but Lord, you know the specifics. And therefore we pray that as individuals and as families, we cast our care upon the Lord. We present the burdens that we have, that you would abundantly answer, Lord, for the glory of King Jesus, for the honor of your holy name. Father, we want to be holy as you are holy. We want to walk in a pattern, in a manner that is honoring and glorifying to your holy name. So hear our prayers today. Remember all of our congregations, our fellowships across Canada, the U.S., our missionaries. Be with them, we pray, Lord, and help them. Bless our brother Cleland as he shares the children's message this morning. May his own heart be encouraged and lifted up. And Lord, may there be just a word in season to all who are listening today. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's continue, please, to worship the Lord. Number 360, When We All Get to Heaven. And let me say again, this was one of the other favorite hymns that the Puccinis had requested, and it certainly fits in very well with the theme and the message that we have this morning. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise. Let's turn now, please, in our Bibles to the Word of God, Matthew 24. We want to return to this well-known and famous portion of the Word. And we're going to read a few verses there that will connect up with the message I want to share with you today. Matthew 24, we're going to read from verse 36 down to 39. Our Lord Jesus is speaking, and He said that that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. These powerful words we have again been reminded of, and we think of the great message, of being ready. Friend, I say to you today from my own heart to you, do not be caught off guard. Do not be as those in the days of Noah, when they were living life to the full. They were eating, they were drinking, they were partying, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage, thinking nothing of God, thinking nothing that their end was just around the corner, and they did not know, and they did not see until it was too late, and they were all swept away to a lost eternity. Let that not be your case, friend, this morning. Think again. Consider the time that God has given to you. Consider the opportunity that is now yours, because now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May the Lord write this word upon your heart and keep your attention here, even to this portion, as we'll be coming back to chapter 25 a little bit later in the service. I want to welcome you all once more. Happy that you have been able to connect today. And also know that if there is some interruption in your internet, you can always go back to sermon audio later and you can download the message, either the audio or the video, or both, and you're able to review at your own time and convenience. Remember, please, in prayer, those we've been asking you to think about. Our sister, Dr. Ruth Slade, is doing much better from her surgery and recovering very well. We would encourage you to remember also Miss Sushila in your prayers, and then also our brother Sam McAnally and Ron Blair. Do you remember, please, John and Thelma Watson? They've not been out to the church for a long time, and we hope that they're able to be viewing the service today. And also remember their son, Richard, who's taking care of his mom and dad. Remember John and Thelma. They have always been faithful prayer warriors, as many of our seniors are, and they miss knowing and seeing all the people. So do remember them. Think of Jean Bino also in a senior's home at this time, remembering her. And then we don't want to forget Mrs. Campbell, elderly Mrs. Campbell, a faithful prayer warrior, faithful servant of Christ, and ask that we would remember and uphold these ones in our praying. Let me remind you of last Wednesday night. We had a video deputation program on the Christian school in Uganda. And it was a tremendous encouragement to see what God has been doing there. And then also specifically to pray for the Foster family, a young couple who have gone out there to work practically and also in teaching and the spiritual aspects of that important ministry. Do you remember them? Now, if you were not there, or if you're wondering how can I support that work, well, you can simply mark on your offering Uganda, and we'll be sure to send that. They are specific and designated funds. Once you donate them for that cause, we are sure that they will get to that area because it goes through our mission board in Northern Ireland, and then from there it goes directly to the necessary work and the people. So do please contribute and think about that. Mention in prayer about our Connect group last night for young adults in our churches across Canada, but also it has expanded. We had about six young adults joining us from our Mexico church congregation, and that was a special blessing. And we're going to be having a testimony next month from one of the young brothers there in that church. So this is a growing ministry, and we're thankful for that. And I want to encourage other young people who have not yet connected in. Don't worry, you're not too late at all. We've just had our fourth meeting, actually. And as we grow and expand, don't miss out on the blessing. Be a part of it. Connect up and share in the rejoicing and the testimonies and the Word of God specifically directed to young adults in our denomination. So that's something to remember, please, in prayer. Services, as far as the rest of today, this afternoon, our prayer time at 4:50 via Zoom, our evening service at 6:30 again. And we want to continue our study in the life of Elisha. And I hope and trust you'll be encouraged by the Word tonight. Our prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7:30 via Zoom. Please, if you want to connect there, just send an email to the church. It's on the church website, and you'll be able to get a connection email sent to you. And the next Lord's Day, again, Lord's Day service in the morning at this time, 11, and then the evening service at 6:30. Well, those are all the announcements we have at this time, and we're going to ask our brother Robin Cleland to come now and just share the Behind the Wall kids program, or message rather, and what he has to share today. Brother, please go ahead.
Well, good morning, young people, and those that are a little bit older than young people this morning. We trust that the Lord will bless you. Now, I'm going to tell you today something that is the best protection that you probably ever could get. And let me share you a story. Now, this is a story from 2009, so it's a little bit old, but still as useful today. Way out on the West Coast in a place called Yellowstone National Park, was a big fire, huge fire, and there was smoke everywhere. People lost their cabins. There was cars burnt. It was absolutely horrendous. And what they had to do was, some of the workers there, some of the rangers, they had to go and pretty much check out if people survived. And two of them in particular, what they did, they were walking through an area that was just covered in smoke and was just an absolute disaster. But one of them looked over and he saw this log and he couldn't wonder, what in earth is that? And he looked on the top of the log and guess what he saw? A bird. And I'm going, and when I read the story, I just thought, a bird? So I read a little bit further into the story. The bird was sitting there with its wings wide apart. And didn't move. So the ranger said, well, I wonder what I should do here. So what he did was he picked up a stick and he went over and he nudged the bird. The bird fell over. So you imagine, it was an eerie thought. I'm sure it was probably a very ghostly thought for him as well, because he's looking at this bird and all of a sudden the thing topples over. But guess what, young people? There was three little babies. And those three little babies were right there in the center of the log. So you know what had happened? The mother, when this fire started, the mother was up in the trees and thought, hey, it's about time to get out of here. Let's get down here somewhere where they're safe. So they found this big log, and there was a hole in the log, and Mother sat on the top of it. Mother put her wings out like that and protected those little things. And our verse today is going to be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, and it's going to be verse number 4. Verse number 4. He, and this is the Lord, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Look at the first part of it. And I looked through this verse a number of times and going, he, his. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the best protection that you could ever get in your whole life. We're talking about the Lord here. And look at the first part of it. It says, he shall cover thee. It's not he might cover you. He shall. He will cover you. And his timing will be perfect. Just like that little bird put out its wings, it knew, hey, I got to get out of those trees, otherwise my little ones are going to die. Very timely intervention. The little bird came down, and you know something? The Lord does the same for us. The Lord does things in our life that are so timely. Let me explain to you. I was driving home. This was probably about a year ago. I was driving home from school. It was late on. It was probably about 9:30 at night. I was driving across Finch and coming to Midland, Middlefield, sorry. And I stopped at the lights and I'm going, okay, I'm just sitting thinking about the day and thinking about the things that happened during the day and just saying, Lord, help us tomorrow as we go into a new school day. And I thought, well, light's green. Something thought to me, let's drive a little bit slow here. The gentleman beside me, there was a car beside me, and he moved forward. Right across the intersection was a car traveling at, I estimated, 100 kilometers an hour. You know something? The timing was perfect there for the Lord. The Lord just said to me, don't go across the intersection. If I drove across the intersection, both the gentleman beside me and the two of us would probably get killed. So there's something that's very, very timely that the Lord looks after us. Now, look at the second part of it. It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. It's not that the Lord's going to use something else. The Lord's going to use his very own feathers. Now, this is not to say that the Lord has feathers on him, but the Lord has his protection. And his protection is for each and every one of us. And it's a divine, very, very divine intervention and a divine protection. Because a little bit later on, it says in God's word that he is my refuge and my fortress. Something very personal for us, but it comes from the Lord. Now, under his wings shalt thou trust. So we're not depending upon anything else. We're not depending upon ourselves. Young people, we need to depend upon the Lord. We need to look upon him and his truth, and that is the most important thing. And how does this help you? So many times in school, we find students that are very anxious, and many adults are anxious. There's times over the last period of time, anxiety has come upon each and every one of us, and various things have happened to us. We've got upset, we've got cried, all of the above. So, protection from stress, anxiety. Young people, I exhort you today that you look for the protection of the Lord upon what you do every day. Especially young people with the internet. A thing that is so dark and evil sometimes. And we ask that the Lord will protect you. So young people today, there's two types of us. Two types out there. Young people that know and love the Lord and have the Lord in their heart. And we just trust that the Lord will ask you, I ask you today, protect your thoughts, get the Lord to look after you, protect your actions, and most of all, protect your testimony, the testimony that the Lord has for you. Young person, if you don't know the Lord and you're listening this morning, and you do not know salvation, you have not trusted in the Lord, you're not trusted in the sacrifice that the Lord has made for you, just like that little bird. That bird, the mother sacrificed her life for the little children. Young people, the Lord has sacrificed himself for you. And the Lord wants you to come to know him as his own personal Savior. So I trust that today that the Lord will bless your heart abundantly And most of all, that the Lord's protection will be with you this day. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
In just a moment, we're going to actually change the hymn we were going to sing. It's number 611, Under His Wings. It would be very fitting and appropriate for the message that Mr. Cleland has shared with boys and girls and really for every one of us today. It's so important. You know, we find ourselves in a world that is upside down, and many times people in the world just do not know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And boys and girls, the same can affect you as well. You can be upset, you can be distressed and distracted. Wow, all those things. But you know, the comfort of the Word of God that has been shared with us today is so appropriate. And the Lord is covering us, protecting us. And so we're able to sing that to the Lord's praise today. Let's do so just now. Please turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 25. As we were singing that hymn, well, something that you folks cannot see, as I'm looking out the large windows that are on the back side of the church, there was a big crow, and he seemed to be almost flapping his wings as we were singing that closing, that hymn, Under His Wings. Sometimes even a crow can look beautiful in those circumstances. And the Lord makes birds small and big, and they all have a purpose in His great creation. Let's read, please, Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Let's ask the Lord to give us understanding in His Word today. Father, we pray once more, as Your Word is open, that our hearts would be open to receive the Word, the truth, the lessons. Lord, help us, we pray, to know where we stand with our God. Help us, we pray, Lord, to be ready, watching, prepared for that day when the shout will come from heaven, when Christ will return again. Lord, teach us, we ask, this very morning. Give me help. I need, Lord, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that unction from heaven that is not manufactured, not made up of men, is only clearly the working of God's Spirit, both to speak and to hear. Lord, apply Your Word today, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The parable of the 10 virgins. Be ready for Christ's return. Be ready when you will come to the day of your death, your departure from this world. Now, our Lord was constantly giving the alert of judgment that was to come and the need to be ready. By repenting of our sin and being born again of the Spirit of God. Now, undeniably, this was the theme of the Olivet Discourse or teaching of Matthew 24 and 25. And our Lord gave this message to the disciples shortly after He had left the temple for the last time, never to return, a short time before His crucifixion. And the whole purpose, we know, of the coming of the Lord into the world was to prepare men for eternity. The Son of Man, He said, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the light of this, it's not surprising that the emphasis is upon being ready, preparing yourself, and watching with earnest, consumed with the attention to Jesus and His message. And this was the summary, really, the substance of the whole preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have these words written down for us in God's holy revelation. So in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 25, it begins the parable of the 10 virgins. And verse 13 is really the whole emphasis and the point that Jesus is making by this parable. And it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." And because of that, friends, it is so essential, so necessary, so absolutely important and vital that you today know that you are ready for Christ's return, that you are ready for the day in which you will leave this world, departing in death. Yes, friend, it's so essential. We give ourselves to that very point. You know, when Jesus compared His second coming to the days of Noah, which we read earlier in our service, the latter part of chapter 24, He compared His second coming to the days of Noah, and the emphasis was that those who openly denied God, openly rejected His word and the pending judgment that they were warned about, well, when Noah and his family went into the ark, God shut the door. And that door could not be reopened by anyone other than God Himself. And they were saved. But the unbelievers, the skeptics, the mockers, the atheists, the agnostics, the general God haters and deniers, they were all left outside. And at that time, they all perished. And they went to a lost eternity. And the words of Jesus, they are haunting for us as we think of that situation of the inescapable doom as the flood waters were rising. And what did Jesus say? When that took place, the waters took them all away. And they were gone. And the warning was the suddenness of the Lord's coming again and the necessity of being prepared and to seek salvation in the ark of Christ Himself. Are you ready, friend, for that day? Now, in the parable of the 10 virgins, the theme of being ready is obviously repeated. But the time, this time, the application is different because it's not being addressed to the world as it was in the days of Noah, and the application that Jesus made then. But this parable, this time, He is talking specifically about the church. This parable is well known. It's well known to anyone who has been around the Bible even for a little time. Much has been written on this simple story. And yet it is profound and timeless. The message it has for believers, the message it has, friends, for those who are churchgoers, but also a very important message for those who would say, "I don't have to go to church to be a Christian." And you've heard of those people before. They'll say, "I can believe in God, you know, without being a part of a group of Christians. I don't have to go to a local church. I don't have to be all in that form or that way of doing things. And so people will make these comments, they'll make these statements. And this parable fits exactly into those who describe themselves in that way. True believers, yes. Churchgoers, and those who say, I don't have to go to church. I can just call myself a Christian and carry on with life. One such commentator who wrote on the parable of the ten virgins, his name was Thomas Shepherd. He was a Puritan minister born in 1605. When he was 15 years old, he went to Cambridge University and graduated, and then became a minister, but his preaching was not well accepted by the established Church of England. He was a nonconformist preacher, and so he was not given a license to preach. As a matter of fact, he was forbidden to preach there. Well, he uprooted his family then, and he moved to Massachusetts in New England. And he took up his preaching ministry there, and he is credited with having stopped the antinomian heresy that was beginning to grow and break out in the new colony. He was also involved in founding Harvard University. Do you know how old he was when he died? 44. A young man. But he had done a life worth of work for the Lord. One of the sermon series that he preached was on this parable of the ten virgins. I have a copy, a reprint of the book that was done by Thomas Shepherd. This book was taken from his sermon notes from the time he preached that series. It's 635 pages. So I suggest to you that he preached a rather long series on this one parable. He would have covered it quite extensively. Well, I can assure you today, I won't be taking that time as we look at this parable. I want to do it in one message this morning and simply present to you, my friend, the highlight, the main point of what Jesus was presenting here. I want us to examine our hearts. I want, friend, to have all and everyone ask the question, am I a true believer in Christ? Am I ready for the Lord's return? In the first place this morning, please note this, the meaning of this parable. Let's get a grasp of what the Lord was putting forward here. And the picture is of a wedding preparation, but it was a Jewish wedding. And the customs that we know today in weddings would be, in many respects, different, much different in some ways. But as the Lord was relaying this account, there was a sequence of events. And the picture is being painted of the kingdom of God. This marriage, the Lord in the very first verse says, the kingdom of God is like this of these ten virgins. The ten virgins, I suggest to you, would be like bridesmaids. They would be the attendants of the bride. And here we find that they are divided 50-50 between those who are wise and those who were foolish. Our Lord is presenting to us broadly the state or condition of His church at the time of His return. And while there is this very specific application, it is also a common characteristic, we could say, of every generation where the church of Christ has been active in the world. There are those who seem to be asleep and those who are awake, those who are expecting the Lord, and maybe quite a wide range of those who are more asleep than those who are awake. You know, we look at church history and we can be very thankful for the times that we read about revival, periods of God's Spirit working powerfully among His church. And that times like that, there are rapid spiritual growth periods. There are times of great reformation where doctrinal truth is brought to the forefront and re-emphasized, and people are brought back to the Word of God in the practice of their Christian walk. When the light and the heat of the gospel is fervent, and oh, believer, would we not do well to pray today that in our time, in our church, in our period, that we would have this fervency, this time of reformation, this time of spiritual revival. That's what I pray for in my own heart. And as you seek the Lord and pray for that as well, God will answer your prayer. The visible church of Jesus on earth, sad to say, it is a mixed bag of true and false, of genuine and imposter, of the wheat and the tares. The word visible that we use to describe the church on earth, well, it is that which can be seen by men. We look at those who profess to be Christians, and that makes up what is the visible church. Now, we cannot see the heart, and therefore, we are very limited to know if someone is a true follower of Christ. And this is compared to the invisible church, only seen by God Himself, only known by Christ Jesus, as those who are genuinely saved, truly born again of His Spirit. They make up the invisible church. And though there are some who hold according to the teaching of this parable, there are some commentators, some people who believe that these 10 virgins represent all true Christians at different stages of readiness. I don't accept that at all. I think that does harm to the very Scripture and the message that Jesus is presenting, especially in verse 12 when He replied to the foolish ones. He said, "I know you not." And if the Lord is going to make a statement like that, this cannot refer to those who are true followers of Him. You see, those who are members of the visible church on earth, they may be baptized, they may take communion, they may participate in evangelism, spreading the gospel. They might even serve on a board or committees of churches. They could be part of women's meetings. Maybe even give to missions. They can contribute into the tithes and offerings and 100 other ways that you could express. But my friend, still, they may not be saved by the grace of God. They might not know truly that they are believers. J.C. Ryle wrote this. He said, "I believe that the 10 virgins represent two great classes which compose the visible church of Christ. The converted and the unconverted, the false professor and the real Christian, the hypocrite and the true believer, the foolish builders and the wise builders, the good fish and the bad, the living and the dead, the wheat and the tares." Campbell Morgan, commenting on this portion, said, "This is not a story of service, but of personal experience. Apparent expectation, for they went to meet him, but no true expectation, for they took no oil with them. And Lenski, in his commentary, said, hundreds of people attach themselves to the church, maybe thousands, but are never reborn and renewed. They may even do great deeds in and for the church, yet inwardly remain strangers to Christ. Their folly is revealed in their end. You see, friend, all of those heard that the bridegroom had arrived, and the five unprepared had to get a supply of oil to see their way in the dark. And while they had gone to do this, the door was opened. The five ready went in, and the door was shut. The oil that they did not have, the foolish ones in their vessel, it's certainly a picture of the indwelling Spirit of God. For in the Bible, oil in the Old Testament that was used in the tabernacle was a picture of the light that was shining, and the light of Christ, of the Holy Spirit abiding in the heart of the believer, is that very oil that emanates of the life, of the vitality, of the truth of Christ living within. By the time these foolish ones got to the door, the Lord observes and states that the door was closed, and though they called on the Lord, though they undoubtedly were pounding on the door for it to open, it was too late. It was too late for them. Yes, my friend, the meaning of this parable, I believe, is very clearly a message for the church, the visible church, made up of those who are true believers and false believers. As we move on now in the second place, I want you to think with me about the message of this parable. Let's look a little bit more deeply into it to understand what its teaching is for us. The message of this parable, it is that unbelievers in the church may not be known by those who are true believers. There is no indication, as the Lord was giving this parable, that the 10 virgins thought anything different, the 5 that had oil to the 5 that didn't seem to be prepared and didn't have any oil. They were all going out together. And there did not seem to be a perception about from the wise ones that the foolish were indeed foolish. They were just 10 altogether in this one party, in this group. They all had a number of things in common. They all appeared to be on the same mission. They were in a wedding, a party. They were all seeming to be waiting for the bridegroom to come. They all had lamps. They all slumbered and slept. And they all heard the midnight announcement about the bridegroom coming. And they all arose and trimmed their lamps. And the Lord is trying, I believe, to fasten our attention on the great similarities that there is within the visible church of those who are hypocrites, false believers, trying to masquerade as true followers of Christ. It didn't seem there was anything unusual or suspicious about the foolish ones to the wise ones, until, of course, it came to the point where they wanted to have some oil taken from those who were called the wise. You know, hypocrites and false professors, they have crept into the visible church from the very beginning, going back to the Old Testament days. You think of Israel as they were beginning their wilderness journey. The 12 spies that went into the promised land to review and bring back a report, well, the 10 of them were an evil report, and the 2 of them, that Caleb and Joshua, brought a good report, and the Lord ended up smiting them with a plague, the 10 that brought that evil report. There was a division that was made. And then we think about the mixed multitude that was in Israel at that time. Those who longed always to go back to Egypt. They were looking back to the world, to the way it was, to all the positive things that they had. They had never made a separation from Egypt in their hearts. And it was obvious in some of their actions. But you consider the priesthood of Aaron's 2 sons, Nadab and Abihu. Because these 2 sons, they offered strange fire before God, and they were struck dead by the Lord for that. And you go a bit further, you consider Eli in the days of Samuel and his 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were wicked before the Lord, but they were priests. They were those who were in Israel, but they were cut off because of their evil, and the Lord slew them. Move a little bit farther forward to the days of King David, and in the council that he had in his very highest chamber was a guy called Ahithophel. And David had no suspicion at all that Ahithophel was not real. In fact, as he reviewed it a little bit later on, after Ahithophel made himself known, David said his words were smoother than butter. But he said war was in his heart. It eventually came out, came to light. But here was Ahithophel in the church in the Old Testament with King David. You move to the New Testament and you find that Judas, part of the disciple band, he was not known by the other apostles that he was a traitor. Right up until the very end, the Last Supper, when Jesus said that one of you shall deny me, and all the apostles sitting around, Lord, is it I? Not one of them looked to Judas and said, oh, it's that guy. No, he's a traitor. No, he was completely unknown to the others in the church, in the apostles' group. You move a little bit farther forward in the book of Acts, and you have Ananias and Sapphira. They were ones who had joined themselves to the New Testament church. And when they sold their property, they lied about how much they sold it for, and they only gave a portion to the apostles, and they kept some back for themselves, revealing their heart of deception and deceit. They were false believers. And both of them God struck dead. My friend, there have always been in the church, the Old Testament and the New, those who were pretenders, but they were not necessarily known or even suspected of being false by those who were in the church at that time. That's the parable of the 10 virgins. That's the message that the Lord has today to remind us about. something further in this area. The foolish heard the same message as the wise. The foolish heard the same message as the wise. The preaching to repent. The same warnings to prepare. The same exhortation to flee from the wrath that is to come. But upon one it was a message of life unto life, and to the other it was a message of death unto death. Careless, indifferent, nominal, keeping up appearances. Oh, these were the five foolish virgins. Maybe they were active, engaged, hardworking, looking to be a part of the group, to be respectable. All of these characteristics they had, but redemption they did not have. It had not touched their heart, their life. They had no atonement. They had no repentance. They had no forgiveness. Oh, friend, they had no hope in their heart. Where does that leave you today, friend? Christ is speaking about the church, the visible church, those who make an appearance of being part of the body of Christ, of the church of the Lord Jesus. They heard the same message. They weren't known necessarily by the other Christians who were true. But notice this also. The Lord's coming, the call when the bridegroom has arrived, it took them all by surprise because they all were slumbering and sleeping. Oh, this is a great indictment to the whole church of Christ. Look, think about it. Remember when Peter and James and John were with the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus went a little bit farther away to pray, but he said to them, "Watch and pray," and they fell asleep. And the Lord came back to them a second time, woke them up and said, "Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." He went away, prayed again, and they fell asleep again. They slumbered and they slept. And it's a very sad thing, friends, that they were not watching. And there is a great problem with us as being sleepy Christians. Not alert at our post. Not watching for the wolf. Not earnestly contending for the faith and not attentive to our own spiritual needs. Not about the Master's business, really. Somnolent saints, very sleepy. This is something, friends, that we are all to guard against, because we are prone to become careless in our faith. Yes, we rejoice for the joy and blessing of a heart that is on fire for God, and believer, it's something that we are to cultivate. It's something that we are to desire earnestly, to walk close with our God, that we'll have fellowship with Him, that we will not be left behind or will not be behind in our service for the Lord, but be fully engaged in the work of God. But for the false Christian, it'll be too late. When they come to see the real value of salvation, it will be too late. Yes, we have to take it to ourselves, and we have to own that part of our own experience of being sleepy and doing the work of God, and pray that we'll be wide awake spiritually. That we'll be all with anticipation, watching, waiting, looking ready about the Master's business. and not careless, and not half-hearted, and not lacking zeal of the Spirit of the Lord. Again, Mr. Ryle commented, he said, "At present, we must all be aware." This is what he wrote. "The vast majority of professing Christians care nothing about it. They have no sense of sin. They have no love towards Christ. They know nothing of being born again. Repentance and faith and grace and holiness are mere words and names to them. But all this state of things will one day come to an end. Knowledge, conviction, the value of the soul, the need of a Savior, shall all burst upon men's minds one day like a flash of lightning, but alas, it will be too late." So, he commented on this portion. Is it possible, friends, that this portion of Scripture is speaking about us today who truly know the Lord? Is the Scripture speaking about you this morning? There's no point coming to a portion of the Word like this and just saying, that applies to that person or somebody else. No, we have to say, Lord, let its application be to me. Friend, don't live in self-deception. I say to you, an unbeliever connected to the visible church, and you profess that you are a believer, but in your heart, you're living a double life, and you don't know Him. You go through the motions of Christianity, and whatever your reason, you do not rest in Christ alone. And I say to you today, do not rest until you are absolutely certain of your standing before Him. Do not rest until you are sure to make your calling and election certain, that you are not the foolish, but you are part of the wise, spiritually wise. Yes, the meaning and the message of this parable. But I close this morning with simply some lessons for us to learn. The first one is this. Be ready, friend, for the time is short. The time is short. When we measure our life, 70 years maybe, if we get to 70 years, what is that in the measure and weight of eternity? James says that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We're not on this earth for a long time, friend. When we compare that to eternity, the time is short. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to be ready and to be sure that we are in Christ. Be sure, friend, that you have the genuine article of true faith in your heart. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Ah, don't delay it. Don't put it off and think foolishly, I'll wait until I get older. Friend, you may never come to that older age, but come as a young child and receive the Lord Jesus into your heart. The time is short, friend. But also, we are to be alert, for the time to serve God is now, not tomorrow. It's now. To be wise to serve Christ, to have our eyes open to see that now is not only the accepted time to believe in Christ, but now is the accepted time to live and to serve Him. You have a measure of health today, friend? Most of us do. Let us serve God with the health and strength that He grants to us, for the day will come soon enough when age and being decrepit will disable us from being able to serve God in the way we once hoped we would have. Now is the time to serve. But let me also say this, that if you are in a state today of being, well, incapacitated to serve the way you once used to serve, don't think that your life is now on the rocks and it's wasted. No, no. But serve in the capacity that you have now as long as life is with you. You have a ministry of prayer. You have a ministry of encouragement to others. You have a ministry that you can pick up the phone or you can text someone and let them know you're praying for them. That's all you have to do sometimes, you know. Just say, my brother, my sister, you're on my heart now and I'm praying for you. My goodness, that makes so much a blessing to the heart of people who maybe are in a time of need more than you even know. Yes, to serve the Lord, time is now. Because as time escapes us, now is the opportunity that God has given to us. We learn also from this parable to beware of sleepy distractions. To beware of distractions that will make us sleepy and take us away from the purpose that God has for us in our life. And our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And in the very divisions of ways in which we can do that, but beware of sleepiness, because that's the devil's desire. Not that he can take us out of Christ, he can't do that, but he comes with his temptations and he gives us the drug, if you like, that puts us to sleep. And we're not so concerned about living for the Lord. We're not so worried about that. Let's just take it easy. Let's just not be too worried about serving Christ now. And the sleep comes upon you. And the sleep can come upon me as well. I'm not talking about sleeping through a sermon or a service. That may be also a problem. But I'm talking about spiritual sleepiness, friend. Let that not be the case. Let's beware of things that will take our attention away from the focal point of our life. It does not mean that we cannot enjoy life. It does not mean that we cannot enjoy those blessed distractions that take us away from the stress of life itself. But let's be careful and beware that we don't become completely absorbed in a dreaminess that's not looking and waiting and watching for our Lord and to be about His business. And finally, friends, beware. Beware of false assurance of salvation. This is where the foolish ones were. This is where they were abiding in a false assurance. And it was not until the call came and the door was shut that it was too late for them. So I say to you this morning, now is the time to get right with Christ. Now is the time to be saved. And you can only do that, friends, by knowing that His blood that was shed on Calvary's cross was shed in order that you might have forgiveness of sin. And as you call upon the Lord Jesus today, and as you pray for Him to receive you, that you repent of your sin, when you call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's word. And you can know that in your heart this very day. Don't delay, friend. Now is the time. Let's bow in prayer. Father, please this morning do a lasting, a deep work of conviction in all our hearts. Save precious souls, we ask. Lord, build us up, those who are believers in our most holy faith. And let us be active in the service and work of Christ. Hear our prayer today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.